Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, or whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Well, hey, friends. Welcome to level 392 of Laugh It Up Fuzzball. Zuh! That's right. Zuh means friends. And I'm joined by, I think it's fair to say, like, a semi-frequent contributor to the podcast. None other than, not Benjamin Blueford Blue the Fourth, not the Marshall, because, you know, he's going to be a nurse and wear them scrubs. It looks so cute. But Jack Talk!
Buenos noches.
Duolingo Jack Talk. He's not learning just one lingo, he's learning Duolingos.
Still haven't mastered English.
It's definitely not a sponsor of the podcast, because the podcast is not that important for Duolingo to want to be like, oh, siempre un fútbol. La verdad, sí, sí. But yeah, Jack's joining me to talk. It's funny because originally the entire plan was to have you come on and talk Avatar with Roman, and then not only did that not happen, but we haven't even recorded that episode yet. But I was like, oh, Jack really was excited to talk something. I was like, what could Jack talk about? Jack talk. What rhymes with Jack talk? Not Dune, but Sandwalk. Actually, that was your fault for saying, I'd be happy to sandwalk with you anytime, or sandwalk my way over.
Yeah.
Because even better, this isn't a Skype recording. This is face-to-face. I could slap him if I wanted to. I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry.
You're scared.
Don't worry. No. Peace, love, and sandwalking. That's what I ascribe to.
Peace, love, and spice.
But I was like, Jack, did you see Dune Part 2? And he was like...
Indubitably.
Did you say indubitably? Probably. That sounds about right. But I was like, do you want to talk Dune? And it was, I think that's where you were like, indubitably. So I had Jack to come on over and talk some Dune Part 2. Some spoilers right from the go. Spoilers. If you haven't seen Dune Part 2 and you don't want to be spoiled, you should probably pause. Don't cancel. Just pause. Come back.
Darth Vader is Paul's father.
What? I thought Poe Dameron was Paul's father. That's not true. That's not impossible. Possible. It's not, because of two different franchises. But he said he wanted to come talk some Dune, and here we is. Dune Part 2. Although, I don't know how you could talk about Dune Part 2 without talking Dune Part 1 a little bit.
Yeah.
But not a spoiler review of Dune Part 1, but probably spoilers for it. So, like, Poe Dameron is Paul's father.
Yeah.
In a way.
We won't be doing too much. I didn't prep any notes, but I did prep some puns.
You did? I appreciate that, though. But, you know, I haven't even asked you this question. That's what I must... How do you feel about Dune? Like, where do you come at when you're like, how you been Dune, man?
I liked it. I liked Part 1 when it came out. I was super excited to start getting into the franchise, because all my life I've been a huge... Star Wars fan, and Star Wars takes a hell of a lot of inspiration from Dune. This I've been knowing for a while, and I actually did try and get into Dune at one point. One of my, the briefest of my pandemic jobs was being a overnight driving security guard.
It was at Borders Bookstore, but they, no, I'm kidding. Overnight security guard, yeah.
I was an overnight security guard, and I started getting into audiobooks, and I tried to listen to Dune, and I would not recommend the Dune audiobook if you don't also have the physical book with you to check the glossary. It gets a little confusing. So I felt like the movies were really my chance to get into it.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, well, I've came to Dune not with the most current movies, but and you did say in Dune... Bitably was your response. Damn it. I was looking for that whole time. But so you really came to know, like, Frank Herbert's novels by watching the movies.
Watching the Denis Villeneuve movie specifically. I still haven't seen the David Lynch one.
I think you can watch it on Max, the same place that you can watch Part 1 and Part 2.
That might have to happen soon.
Denis Villeneuve.
That might have to happen, Dune.
Denis Villeneuve. Yeah, that guy. But the David Lynch one, they're wild. Sting. Yeah. Sting is the role that Elvis played.
Fade Rafa Harkin?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
I saw a little bit of that movie in the background hanging out at a friend's house, but not the whole
thing. The old one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's I've seen it at least once in its entirety. For me, like, Dune's one of those 1999, I'm in tech school in the Air Force, learning to be like a medic working in flight medicine. Through a church group, ended up going to eat dinner at an A-10 pilot's house. And then he was like, "Let's watch Dune." And all of us are like, "Watch what?" And he was like, "Dune? You haven't seen Dune?" And we were like, "No." He's like, "It's a lot like Star Wars." We're like, "Can we watch Star Wars?" "No, we're watching Dune." And I'm sure he said something about
Star Wars got Dune-eyed.
Star Wars ripping off, I don't remember exactly, but I think he was a Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Mapes. I think that's what, that rings true in my brain. Anyways, Lieutenant Colonel Mapes had us watch Dune, and we were terribly bored, terribly uninterested.
Yeah.
I think I was the elder statesman of the group at 19 years young. So, and to you, I know 19 sounds young, even though you're like only like 6 years past it.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy belated birthday. But so watched it and was like, okay. And then like later was like, I should watch this in its entirety. And it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then I've seen part one twice.
Mm.
And seen part two once.
Same. Yeah. Well, I've seen part one thrice.
Thrice.
And part two once.
You wanted to say thrice because it rhymes with spice?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the spice must flow.
Must flow.
And so must the tongue in throat singing.
Yeah.
Spice. But yeah, anybody really into Dune, definitely, I'm told the novels are great. Haven't read them. And would recommend watching the weirdness that is why that director didn't do Return of the Jedi. Instead, he did. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. George Lucas wanted him to do some Star Wars.
I knew Steven Spielberg was up for that position.
I'm sure all those guys, probably De Palma and Coppola and everybody.
Like, George Lucas wanted Steven Spielberg, but Lucas had been kicked out of the Directors Guild, and the Directors Guild basically said, "Hey, Steven Spielberg, if you do a George Lucas movie, you're out too. You can't have friends."
Wow.
And so he didn't do it.
So instead they did Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that turned out so horribly for him.
Yeah. Real terrible.
Real piss poor decision making there.
Yeah. If you haven't heard of Indiana Jones, it's kind of this weird B movie that...
Yeah. There's like whips and Nazis. Yeah.
Not interesting.
And relics. Yeah, and some hack named John Williams did the score.
Never heard of him.
Ugh, yeah, it's freaking. Yeah, and that dwarf from them Hobbit movies was in there in brown face as an Egyptian.
Attention, my friends.
I think he actually might be Egyptian. I should look that up. But or maybe he's actually dwarven. Yeah. Yeah, stealing them parts from those other little people. Yeah.
He's a big guy.
He is. That's what I'm told. And I love that dude, Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when he finally went to the Indiana Jones adventure, like 12, 13 years after it opened. It was like, "This is lovely."
I'm glad he didn't have to hear, "Attention, my friends, I am indeed sorry."
Oh, you know, he probably would be like, "I said that. Yes."
Yeah, that's me.
But yeah, but that's all to say Dune. Like, the most I know about Dune, you're probably hearing all sorts of noise as we, like, battle the 120-pound dog who is trying to join the podcast party. Gus, this isn't sand walking with Gus. That doesn't even rhyme. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't understand me, for the record, friends. I talk. My puffer pig understands me more in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge than that big dog. But, yeah, Dune.
Puffer pigs are very intelligent creatures, Joey.
They are. They climb walls. They apparently Schnitzel has a reputation. The more I take him out, the more people are like, "Oh, trouble." No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about him. And even some kid today was like, "Is that Schnitzel?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I was eavesdropping on your conversation when you were down by the Falcon." And I was like, "Okay, little dude." Like,
glad you're having fun.
glad you know my puff pig's name. But anyways, Dune. So
part two.
Part two. Part two. Part Dune.
Dune Part Dune.
Danny Vella Dune. Dune Part Dune. Yeah.
What, like, what overall are you?
We're definitely Dune too much now.
Yeah. Are you Spicehead? Are you a Fremen of the Dune?
I certainly have enjoyed Dune Parts 1 and 2.
Hey. Do you like one more than the other?
Ooh.
I know that it's like a two-parter. It's
I think two was pretty dang good.
One big five-hour movie, right? Actually, 5.5 hours?
Don't tempt me.
Both like 2:46?
Don't tempt me. I'll double feature it.
I mean, I sort of did, because I watched Dune Part 1 the night before I saw Dune Part 2. So yeah. I literally told the wife, I was like, in a 24-hour period, I've dedicated like 5.5 hours to Dune.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty wild. Sometimes I don't even dedicate that amount of time to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah. So real quick, Dune Part 1, you watched it ostensibly during the pandemic when it came out on the Max?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Which is a shame. It should have come out in theaters. Yeah. Sort of a sad thing that it did that. Weird, all those new releases dropping on Max just to...
Maybe they'll put it back in theaters someday. We'll get a little our double feature.
Would you go?
I would so go.
Oh, I would not.
I would so go.
I've seen it twice. I don't need to... I don't know.
I'm a dork. I love watching movies I've already seen.
I enjoy watching movies. I'm going to go see The Force Awakens when it comes to theaters. I'm taking the boys, for sure.
I think Revenge of the Sith is coming to theaters soon, too.
That is entirely possible as well.
The 20th anniversary next year?
Next year? Well, 25th for Phantom Menace, so...
Oh, maybe it was that.
So, yeah, 25th for Phantom Menace, so 6 years later, so it'd be the 19th anniversary. Don't check my math, but that seems pretty basic. So, I'm pretty sure they're not releasing it for the 19th anniversary.
No, you're right.
Yeah. So Phantom Menace.
Numbers have never been my strong suit. But I can count to two.
You can. And there are. This is the second movie. This is
the second Dune movie. Or the second
part of a 5.5 hour movie.
Technically the third Dune movie. I counted to three.
You can't. Well, you counted the David Lynch. But that movie was actually these two movies done in one movie, but weirder.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as pretty.
Yes. Based on the parts that I've seen, I concur.
I like to imagine right now that somebody listening, either the Roman or the Danny, are like, hey, fuck Nards, are you going to actually talk about Dune? Like, at some point?
We're
like,
fuck you. No. We'll get there.
Oh, wow.
We'll get there when we get there.
He's coming for you. He's coming for you.
Sand walking there takes time.
It does. And you have to shuffle weirdly so you mimic the sounds of the desert so that the Shai Halud don't come in, they don't bite your head off, because they sort of just swallow you whole.
Right. They do have teeth. I imagine you might get eviscerated first.
Yeah, and then you'll be slowly digested in the belly of the worm over hundreds of years. Or is that a different sand property?
We're doing a lot of ripping here, George. We gotta talk about this.
No, we don't, actually, though. Like, you know, it's not like they have, like, spice in Star Wars. Sandworms, they don't have, like, mystical powers. Well, there's no, like, order of, like, witches orchestrating democracy behind the scenes. There actually isn't, right? Night Sisters don't count.
We gotta talk.
Well,
at least there's definitely not a good protagonist in the earlier years of the timeline that... becomes more powerful, gets visions of the future, and slowly turns bad.
You know what? You know what Luke never had was a pregnant mom, except for when he was born. We never had to hang out with her outside the womb, because she died.
There you go.
There you go, problem solved. I just...
no similarities whatsoever, clearly.
I just think I pretty much had the conversation that'll guarantee that I never work for Lucasfilm. Right now. Record that for posterity on the 2nd of April at 11:10 p.m. No,
please let me in. Please let me in. He doesn't speak for me.
But yeah, Dune Part 2, 2 hours and I think like 46 minutes, something like that, of beautiful sand and some other places. Yeah. Overall, what'd you think of the movie?
I'd give it... I'm trying to think of something to... give it 4 out of 5 of, or 9 out of 10 of, 8.5 out of 10 of. Yeah, pretty good. I liked it.
How many grains of sand do you give it?
At least 85% of the desert's worth of grains of sand.
That's fair. So you give it a B?
Yeah. Yeah. B plus.
Yeah. It's like 89, 88.5.
Yeah, very close to an A minus.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I was telling somebody at work, I was like, Dune Part 2 is like going to a museum of fine art. And you see, like, I'll just pick like Andy Warhol. I can recognize why people like Andy Warhol stuff. Actually, not really. I think it's work shit. But let's go like Monet, right? Like, really beautiful from a distance, but you come up and it's actually all messed up. That's a bad ripoff of Clueless. But a lot of people are like, Monet's a master. And when I look at him, like, hey, that's a masterpiece. But not all art is necessarily for me.
There you go.
I'm not like, I'm going to hang this up on my wall. I don't need it on my wall. I could have it in my streaming library.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't necessarily need to be on my telly.
Right.
And that's sort of how I feel about Dune Part 2. I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's beautiful and wonderful and gorgeous, and I just think it's okay. Like, I enjoyed myself while I watched it. I'm glad I saw the second part in the theater so I could see some of those images big. But overall, I'm like, man, Star Wars, yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm a Star Wars guy, too.
I'm like, what someone should do...
Please love me.
What someone Lucas should do film. Is rip this story off and make it better. That's what someone should do.
There you go.
And he did. And his name is Raise a Glass... George Lucas and plenty of other science fiction people, because I think,
fantasy.
The Dune novels have inspired a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But did you have to pee during the movie? I think that's the burning question.
Did you have to leave? I prepared and didn't drink anything for 5 days because I was traveling through the desert.
Dehydrate yourself appropriately.
Yeah, just to be in the... I actually did walk into the theater and my... roommate was like, I'm gonna get a water, and I said no.
I did have to pee once, and it was right before Elvis's show up, but I could tell by the way the Bene Gesserit were talking, I was like, I think I have 40 seconds, because where the theater was and the mom and pop was right across the hall from like where the bathroom was. So yeah. I stood up, watched the movie, walked to the door, because it's not like a long hallway or anything. Like, yeah. The door is right to like a real quick to the bathroom, and like saw that moment and choo, puff of smoke in the shape of Joe to the bathroom and back. And it was like, I could tell that like not many words have been said since he showed up, and I was like, I think I haven't missed anything.
Sweet.
I missed an and a whoo, you know.
My piss moment was definitely at the beginning of the credits. Then I came back and respectfully watched the rest of them.
Yeah, and you definitely, the beauty of watching this sort of movie at home is that if you have to tinkle, you can pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of movies are really long nowadays. And I don't know if I think the movie should be shorter. I don't have an edit for it. I don't have a Snyder cut, if you will. Although Snyder cuts make things longer. Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird word to say cut and make it longer. Yeah. Yeah, like Snyder uncut, but then that sounds like totally different things. So, yeah, but it's a lot of beautiful stuff. Here's my biggest qualm, if you will, with Dune Part 2. I feel like Denis Villeneuve, not in all his movies, but in particular with Dune, has a problem with pacing.
Mm.
Part 1 is sometimes downright boring. But the action's fine. And rewatching it, I was like, I like this better the second time I watched it. Dune Part 2. It's not frenetic, but it, like, pulls the taffy in a lot of places. Then, like, real quick gets someplace. You're like, blah, 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 pull the taffy. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, it's a little much. You know what I mean? Like, maybe just pull evenly the whole way through and give me, like, a four-hour movie, I suppose. Or maybe cut down some of them long taffy moments so that I don't feel. Like, there's one particular moment. It's like when Paul... Like, you have to go out in the desert and survive. And it's like, oh, crap, this might suck. But then all of a sudden, you know, Spider-Man's girlfriend's helping him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, she's helping him. And then all of a sudden, they're, like, fighting that spice crawler. And, like, the Fremen are fighting. And you're like, how did we get here? What in the world? Yeah. Like, it was real fast. And I was like, that probably could have been done with a little more finesse.
I felt like I had missed something.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Literally, it felt like I'd missed something. And then you're like, oh.
I guess they just skipped it.
It's them and they're fighting now. Okay. Did he survive in the desert? Like, did he pass the test?
Is this part of the test?
Exactly.
I thought maybe it was part of the test.
Yeah, but apparently he passed the test and they just didn't tell us. So it was those sort of, like, moments where I was just like, okay. And, like, you get when the big final fight, like, happens, you're like, here we go. It is fast. It is over quick.
Yeah.
But because I watched part one very close to part two, I got the beauty of that first fight scene between Paul and the guy, like, being the way it all ends, and I was like, oh, that's nice. But I feel if it had been 3 years since you'd seen part one, you completely missed that. You had no idea what's going on. You're like, okay, I guess it's over. Paul wins.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they make an actor who weighs generously 120 pounds soaking wet believable in action and ass-kicking is a wonder in itself.
Yeah.
And Willy Wonka, I'm telling you, watch out for him in the desert. I love not using any of these actors' names and just like pulling other movies. Yeah.
I'm gonna do my job really quick.
Okay.
And reference a TikTok.
Okay.
There's an edit out there, like an audio edit.
Okay.
Of a little clip from Wonka, and then immediately smash cut into an audio clip from Dune, and it's like, ladies and gentlemen of the Gallery Gourmet, my name is Paul Muad'Dib Atreides, Duke of Arrakis.
I love that.
That's everywhere, and it is awesome.
That's pretty good. Though, what I actually saw some TikToks from it, and it all has to do with the bad guy from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, like, character.
Which one? Davy Jones?
No, he played the Spanish guy.
Oh, Javier Bardem.
Yeah. I'm sticking to my bit where I'm not saying the name of the actors.
I didn't commit.
But there was a lot of stuff where they're like, it's like, oh man, I gotta blow my nose. As the prophecy has foretold, Muad'Dib will blow his nose. See?
I've been waiting for a good moment for 15 minutes, sorry.
But are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allergies are intense.
They are, yeah.
I got sand in my nose.
Sometimes they're in buildings, too. But, yeah.
And anyway, that's been the podcast. I hope you all had a good night.
Hi, Gus. How's it going, buddy? It's the third member of the podcast, my 120-pound dog, who won't take no for a freaking Fremen dust-filled motion. You can hear him breathing. Hell, don't bite me. Muad'Dib, go. Go lay down.
Right. You are not the Lisa Nakaib.
You are not the Lisa Simpson guy. That's really dumb, but honestly, the Gaib, I've had somebody mispronounce my last name that way. Mm-hmm. So when they're like, listen al Gaib, I'm like, it's pronounced Gaib. And for anybody that's seen me post on the Laugh at a Fuzzballs Facebook group, plug, 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 you get that that's one of my last names. Yeah, yeah. I should have had a daughter and named her Lisan. Lisan al. Yeah.
Gaib.
Yeah, yeah. Missed opportunity. Sorry, Denis Villeneuve. How do you say his last name?
Villeneuve?
I think people say Villeneuve, but like Villeneuve.
I also saw somebody completely mispronounce his name, thinking he was Spanish.
Oh,
and
Villeneuve?
Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
And yeah. Then they got laughed at in whatever context that was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in fairness, I think my favorite character from the entire thing is old bad guy from the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stilgar.
Stilgar, there you go. Stilgar. That's, I don't know, he brought so much to it. And I thought Zendaya did a good job.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, wrong scrawny white boy.
Well, so there was a moment where I was watching the movie, and I realized that, like, if you took Tom Holland and emaciated him just a little and dyed his hair black, you get Timothy Chalamet.
There you go.
And I was like, if I was Tom Holland watching my girlfriend kiss on this guy, I'd be a little, like, disheartened. Like,
guys,
wait a minute. She has a type. But it's okay.
It's just acting.
Here's another one of my critiques is when Timothy Chalamet kisses her, he kisses her like a boy who has never kissed a girl before.
Well, maybe Paul hasn't.
So you're just saying it's some good acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It was they have about as much chemistry as two boxes of table salt touching each other. it's not the most spark filled romance I've ever witnessed on cinema. Yeah,
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, but
it didn't take me out of it though.
All those things said, I liked the movie. Like I thought Stilgar was great. You know, when Thanos shows up again,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. And I'm sure it's in the book, so I'm like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But that's another one of those moments where you're like, so I never saw the scene where I was supposed to believe that he was dead. So, mm-hmm. But I just sort of felt that because, heck, when Aquaman dies too, then everybody's dead.
Yeah.
God, I love cinematic universes. But then all of a sudden he's there. But I don't also quite get what he's doing because he's a spice pirate.
He's smuggling spice.
Dude, am I really led to believe that the Harkonnens are allowing that sort of thing to happen?
Hey, big planet.
I didn't get that impression. It sort of seemed like there was like a golden acre of like spice mining like in that movie. So he's either working for the Harkonnens, which is never mentioned, or the Harkonnens are so focused on murdering one skinny white boy in the desert that they've just allowed everybody else to harvest this spice that they killed an entire family and, like, army over.
Yeah. At that point, they don't know that Paul specifically is alive.
So even more reason they should be able to dedicate their resources to people not stealing their valuable spice. Yeah. But anyways, you know, Josh Brolin gets to come back. And
I recognize your footsteps, old man.
I actually like that moment. That was That's cool. Okay. That's actually pretty cool. It's just... And... I don't have it in me, my good Christopher Walken.
It's the lease on all guys.
Paul, I've been carrying this spice in my back pocket for ages, and now I give it to you.
I'm carrying the tooth of the Shai Halu.
I'm the emperor. You bow down before me.
No.
No.
I don't want to
do my Travolta. It's weird. It's weird. But,
I said no.
Actually, yeah. So I actually liked him as emperor because they realized that he could not talk a lot. Like, yeah. If you want Christopher Walken to be the old man emperor, he cannot talk. He cannot become Christopher Walken. But then there were a couple moments where he got some dialogue. You're like, there he is.
That's Christopher Walken.
And he was trying. He was trying to be the most un-Walken of his entire career.
Yeah.
You could, yeah. He was trying so hard to not talk.
I am the emperor.
But.
Shadam.
It also sort of bothered me too because I was like, oh, Christopher Walken is an old man now. And like, I don't have to believe it because he is an old man. Like, yeah. I was like, damn you, Denny. I did not need to know he had aged so.
I saw somebody that said they would have preferred Ian McKellen in the role.
Mm.
That could have been interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was necessarily up for it. I think it was more of a fan cast situation.
I mean, even like Al Pacino.
Ooh.
Over here, Emperor. Yeah, I don't have a good Pacino either. Oh, it's spice.
Sniffing the spice.
Yeah, I would have gone for some Anthony Hopkins.
Ooh,
I think he's like my go-to.
He's kind of done a space king before.
Porque no los all of them.
True.
Porque no los todos.
Just have them all doing the role like an elementary school play. Like, all right, now it's your turn to do a line.
Tonight,
now
the role of the God Emperor will be played by Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. Ian McKellen has been in so much stuff, but because of Blue's like amazing rants about cats, I always think about his rants of him mad being Gus. Gus in the Cats movie. So... as many great things as he's done. I even saw him as Magneto, and I was like, oh, Gus, moving that metal. So, but yeah, okay, I went over some critiques. Do you have any critiques of the movie?
Not off the top of my head, no.
No? Wasn't anything that stuck with you?
Yeah, I think I agree that the romance was maybe a little dry, but, you know.
Dry like a desert?
Oh, it was all part of the plan.
It was. Yeah, I think the real
Denny,
problem is...
you genius.
I don't like sand. It's coarse.
Rough.
And it gets everywhere.
Irritating. Not like here.
I don't like it. And when I see people from the sand, I kill them. And not just the men, but the women and the children. That's what the Harkonnens say.
Red flags. Get your red flag. Red flags.
Oh, it's Life Day? Or the First Order's coming to town 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But, so you don't... So... what did you love? What doomed it for you?
I think the grandiosity.
Grandiosity, that's a good word.
Of the, I think it feels very big.
Big like a Shai Halud.
See?
That's all when they're like, you called a big one. I was like, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it intended to, and... I think they succeeded at what they were going for with the grandiosity, the scale, if you will.
Like the scales that they hooked the hooks in when they rode the worms?
See.
Yeah. Yeah, that Duolingo doing wonders for you. Before, like, talking about things I love, sort of cracked me up. There's a gal I work with that I saw it, and she's like, did you like it? And I was like, yeah, I liked it. It was good. And I was like, did you like the first part? And she's like, oh, I love it. Oh, rah, rah. Face, neck, and chest, I love it. And I was like, you're going to like part two.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you feel that way about part one. And she came back, and she was like, it was okay. And I was like, what? Like, what? Because she liked the slow pace, and she liked the 100% taffy pull.
Yeah.
So when there was, like, those moments of rapidity in the grandiosity, that sort of threw off.
People like the slow machinations of the politics. Season one of Game of Thrones is pretty popular, pretty good.
So I was like, but then there's other people, like me and my buddy were shouting like Fremen like things for at least a week at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Musana Al-Gaib and Sheikh Halud, yeah, and Muad'Dib, which that's such a great righteous like name to pick. And what do you call mouse. That dumb little mouse that nobody cares about? Muad'Dib. Oh, that's who I am. Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, so I appreciate that too. But the thing that I loved the most, and that I was just like, Denis Villeneuve, you did it. You've shown me something I've never seen before in my entire life that I think will define science fiction for a while. The Harkonnen planet. That entire black and white, weird, like lava lamp firework.
Those were so cool.
Freaking like just stark, tense, crazy, like that simmering insanity.
Bald.
Yeah.
Bald.
It was just, I was like, wow. And I get it, like black and white's been done before and stuff, but there was just something about it that I was like,
it was used very well.
This is probably like the damn prettiest thing I've seen in a long time.
It aligns well with like the previous experiences that we've had of the Harkonnens and the previous descriptions that we've had of the Harkonnens. Hey, they are different from what we do. They are brutal. They think differently.
Right.
Here's a completely different cinematic experience for their planet.
Yeah, it was pretty freaking wild. And just a really, really great, you know, Austin Butler coming in. I was just like, well,
thank you.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of the actor's name in Thor. Erik Selvig. Erik Selvig.
Skarsgård.
Yeah.
he was doing his Skarsgård impression.
I think, I don't know, Stellan Skarsgård, I freaking love him, Vladimir Harkonnen. Just creepy, yeah.
My Doom.
Yeah.
My Rockies.
Yeah, it was good. It's solid, but freaking, I'm actually watching it's the World War II bomber pilot show, Masters of the Air. So Elvis is in that too.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he did a really good job of matching what Stellan Skarsgård was doing. Like to believe, like where, like I love me some Drax the Destroyer, but I do not feel that that it was his finest performance in a movie.
He was
felt sort of wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he was kind of a good way in the, this is in the writing of the book more so than the movie, I guess, to, we hype up a villain in the first half and he's like this terrible, awful thing. And then somebody even worse comes around and just curb stomps him, says, nah, I'm here now. Worry about me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty freaking cool. Like Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah, but I mean, most people will tell you in like the Dune books that Lady Jessica is one of the coolest characters, you know, so she had a big role to play. And I do appreciate like some of the changes that I know from like the David Lynch movie to this with like Unborn Daughter and everything, like the way they did it. And like to be the only person in a scene having a conversation with your unborn child and make it believable is a pretty, pretty strong feat of acting. Yeah. Yeah.
The moment where, like, she's walking around, like, talking to her belly and, like, people are looking at her funny.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. So, I like what Timothée Chalamet brings in the role, especially more in, like, part two than, like, part one. Yeah. I feel like he gains, like, 5 pounds. So when he's dripping wet, he's, like, a little bit more.
I think 125.
And he wears the suit a little bit longer. Not a still suit, right?
I know it's different, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There's so much Dune lore to learn.
He ate all that chocolate, so he gained a few pounds. Well, there's Shia Halud and there's Shia Halud, but only mine will make you go see Dune. Put your hand into your pocket, get yourself a fucking popcorn bucket. Come on.
No, don't fuck the popcorn bucket.
I don't own the popcorn bucket. I literally was like, when people were like, oh, people are going to hump this. I was like, with all them teeth in the mouth? Like, I think that's a bad idea.
Whatever you're into.
But yeah, is. I mean, I think another little quabble critique is Paul spends a lot of time being like, no, I shouldn't do this. No, I shouldn't do this. No, I shouldn't do this. Like, this is bad. This is bad. It all ends bad. And he drinks like one little sip of Hypnotic, almost dies. And then he's like,
shit, I'm going to do this.
I'm starting Holy War and effing the Fremen's lives, you know? So the moral of the story, no hypnotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't drink worm piss.
Is it piss? I think it's their blood, right?
They joke that it's worm piss.
Oh, I think it's their blood.
Yeah.
Sort of the impression I got when they killed the little baby sad snake.
But fun fact about piss, comes from your blood, so.
Yeah, sort of. It's a it's a fluid of yours.
Hey, don't speak for me.
It's fluid of ours. What else? What other thoughts you have for Dune Part 2?
Lisa Nagaib. No, I like the kind of lesson that Frank Herbert is talking about with not going into blind fanaticism.
Yeah. I mean, they change a few things where, like, in the books and in the... You okay? You sneeze again?
Not anymore.
In the original movie, the Fremen are, like, one big united front. Like, they all believe one thing. And instead, they do the North and the South, where you have, like, the true believers, the religious fanatics, and then you have the more, like, practical, like, secular, like, Fremen. So, like, they do a good job of all that stuff. And it does, it is a commentary on, Middle Eastern culture and colonial efforts, like, in Middle Eastern cultures. Like, Frank Herbert was very, very interested in all those ideas. I don't know, it's not, like, Disney-fied's not the word, but, it's there, but it's not, like, brutally, like, in your face there.
Well, I think part two, definitely, it's more apparent than in part one, and, like, even I feel like watching the movie, I kind of got lost in the this Nagaib, and had to think about it afterwards and go, wait, no, like, Bene Gesserit made that up to manipulate them.
Well, I mean, it is a prophecy of sorts.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested in that prequel show that they're going to have on Max.
They're going to do a prequel show?
It's like 1,000 years before Dune, like the Bene Gesserit, so...
I'm down for that.
It's like Prophecy of Dune or something like that.
I'm down for that.
So yeah, there's going to be a prequel show that maybe explains some more about the Shadak Harach and all that good stuff. Yeah. Putting your hand in the box. Yeah.
What's in the box?
The Mind Killer.
Pain.
Yeah. It's a...
That lady was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
In both movies.
She was very good. You know, when the Bene Gesserit goes to, like, bang Elvis, is that the Emperor's daughter, or is that a different Bene Gesserit?
Different Bene Gesserit.
Okay, just a different blonde?
Yes.
With short hair?
Yes, it was not Florence Pug.
Why do you say her name like that?
It's Pew.
Hey, you need to, Natasha Romanoff's sister demands more respect from you than that.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she is. Florence Pugh is an amazing freaking actress. But yeah, so that's the Emperor's daughter. Who? It's weird, I guess, in the next book, Dune Messiah, that Denis Villeneuve is probably going to end up making that movie to finish off his trilogy. If you count part one and part two as two separate movies, otherwise it's a duology.
Yeah,
and you could find an app to teach you how to do that. But yeah, apparently in that book, Zendaya's character, and I'm not Chani, is Paul's concubine, and all of his children are born from his concubine, and it doesn't seem that that's exactly the way they were going at the end of Dune Part 2.
He says that he was going to love her forever, and then
yeah, but
he's
I did,
like,
didn't I get the impression that she was like, I'm going to have your babies, but you can marry that lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't seem too happy about it, so. No. So yeah, so, and Chani, like, in the David Lynch thing is much more of like, whatever you want, my love. Lisa Nagaib, I love you. So, yeah, and she was also a white lady. And, yeah, I do appreciate that they made sure to cast non-white actors
yeah.
for the majority of the Fremen. and some Hispanic actors, you know what I mean? But definitely not a bunch of white people. I did see some, like, not critics, but some people being like, Zendaya doesn't fit. And I'm like, guys, it's a bunch of people of color.
Yeah.
Like, don't be like, oh, she doesn't fit. Like, you don't know anything. Don't, all of a sudden, you're not a Fremen expert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's from the North, where they have Zendaya accents. The South has Javier Bardem accents.
Yeah.
Get it right.
And some people have Middle Eastern accents. It's okay.
Right.
There's a giant...
Fremen diversity. There's a whole ass planet of them.
Yeah. Whole big spicy planet full of people of color and white invaders that want to steal their drug.
Yeah, a lot of people criticize Dune Part 1 for being like a white savior movie.
Well, people criticize Dune period about that. I think it was handled pretty deftly. Deftly that, you know.
Yeah.
With although.
Wait for it to play out. Wait for it to play out.
We'll see. I think it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Herbert knows what he's talking about here, it seems like.
Well, he knew for $5 and a cliffhanger, and then his son found some notes and wrote, like, twice as many books, apparently.
I've heard that they're not that great.
There are some people that are just like, Dune ends when the elder Herbert dies.
Yeah.
But it gets weird. There's, like, weird, like, copycat people come back, and, yeah, there's some strange ideas. So, and then there's even, like, a half-human, half sandworm hybrid apparently at some point in later books. So yeah, I mean, you deal with science fiction long enough, it's just gonna get weirder and weirder.
Yeah,
at some point you get a swamp pirate and some people like me are very happy about it, but not everybody. So yeah,
you're talking about Mando season 3.
Yeah I love that.
I thought that guy looked really cool. I love
that swamp pirate. Yeah, some good sauce. What else? What other thoughts about sand walking and Dune? Not skywalking, we're sand walking for the record,
right?
Yeah.
These are two very different things.
They're two very different things. Both of them are born in the desert.
I had a friend whose username on everything was like, he was a big Star Wars fan, and his like username on all the gaming things was like Earth Flyer.
Ah.
That's like an inverse.
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you could just be Luke Sandwalker. Yeah, Paul Sandwalker.
This is a somewhat deep cut.
Okay.
And doesn't necessarily have to do with Dune Part 2, but certainly has to do with Dune.
Okay.
There's an album, like a jazzy, funky album.
Okay.
From 1976, written by this guy called David Matthews. Not to be confused with Dave Matthews. David Matthews.
Okay.
He wrote a funk jazz album.
Okay.
Inspired by Dune. And it's called Dune.
And a lot of drugs.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's very good. If you like jazz and funk.
How funky is his chicken?
Super funky.
How loose is his goose?
Very loose. As loose as it gets.
Yeah, like caboose loose?
Caboose loose.
What about letting...
Drinking worm juice.
Letting the moose loose.
No, he's got to stay over there because he was interrupting the podcast.
He got put into a cage, or into his kennel, if you will, because he 100% was in the way. Friends, just so you don't feel bad for the 120-pound monster that wants to rip all the cables out and bite your face. Yeah, yeah. We love him.
In a loving way.
In a loving way. But
in the most loving way that he could bite your face.
Indeed. Indeed. But in the history of my life and my interactions, I've always tried to avoid face biting. Yeah.
Wish I could say the same.
You're young still. You'll figure it out. But dude, I mean, like, 190 million budget, which is a lot of money, but for, like, what we got, like, Denis Villeneuve did a lot with that moolah.
Most certainly.
You know what I mean? And did prove that you don't have to spend, like, $300 million. But, I mean, two locations, three locations?
Yeah. You know? It's a lot of sand.
Yeah. You go to Jordan, you go to Qatar, you go to UAE, you can find places with lots of untouched sand. And there's a whole Sahara Desert, right? Yeah. So, like, there's lots of places, and CGI. You just go to Tatooine, yeah?
I'm good without touching
sand. Edit out one of the suns, and everything's fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a very small hyperspace jump over from Naboo.
I'd have to pull out a star chart and actually check. I do know that Batuu and Endor are close to each other.
Enough to get there with a damaged hyperdrive.
True.
You need to get your J-type Nubian replaced.
Nubian! Oh, Tatooine. Yeah. Thankfully, like, it's only the Sarlacc, like, in there. No, where are your sandworms that you're thinking of?
Well,
Okay. I just, yeah, there's no, like, you know, giant sandworms, like, all over the place. Like, yes, you have the crate dragon.
Yeah.
But that's...
That's a sandworm.
But that's only brought in Mandalorian. Like, you only had the skeleton and your imaginings and some, like, EU stories. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Unlike the Bad Batch, where they go to the ice planet and there's ice worms. And instead of drawing them in with thumpers, you keep them away with thumpers.
Love it.
Yeah. Which drops in the same week that Dune Part 2 comes out.
Is there a new episode of Bad Batch tonight?
There is. Yeah. Oh, at Zoom midnight.
I know what I'm doing after this.
There you go. I'm probably going to sleep and waking up early. Actually, fuck, it's already 11:52. We might just watch it when we're done recording.
Sounds good.
Because it'll be on. But yeah, freaking Dune, I liked it. I thought it was good. I feel like we really haven't said much about it, but we've said a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what more can be said about the Dune? Like, you should see it 100%.
I agree.
Although
you should definitely see the first one first and the second one second. But if you're doing, like, a prophecy sort of thing, I guess you could see visions of the second one before you watch the first one.
I don't know if you went straight into part two without watching part one, that you would be completely lost.
No, probably not. Like, for the weirdos that wanted to go see the second one and didn't watch the first one, yeah, they're still gonna have an enjoyable experience, which says a lot about the movie.
Yeah, and I do feel like part one becomes a better movie because of part two.
Certainly.
Yeah, yeah. Although I haven't gone back to watch part one after having seen part two, but it was one of the first time I saw it. I was like, it was okay. Like, I remember people like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Second time watching it before, I was like, okay, I remember this. I'm interested. Like, it seemed faster.
Yeah.
And then after part two, I was like, all right. Like, Denis Villeneuve, you've got a real eye for, like, beautiful things. But, like, also, like, Blade Runner 2049 was a movie I went to see, and I was like, it's entirely too long, and I was disappointed. So, there's some really cool stuff in it, and it was really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and his cinematographer, they do some real magic together.
I haven't seen Arrival, but I've heard it's pretty good.
Arrival is the only other Denis Villeneuve movie that I've seen, and I love it. I think it's perfect.
You need to make it happen.
So it's really, really, really freaking good. That movie's wild. But I wanted to make sure, cinematography by Greg Fraser. So, yeah, it's...
What a guy. Cheers to you, Greg.
It's just, it's really, really pretty. Like, 100%. And there is not a bad acting performance in the entire movie.
Mm-mm.
There are a lot of extras. A lot of probably non-SAG actors getting paid sandwiches and sunscreen.
I get paid in sandwiches to be in Dune.
Yeah, and sunscreen. You would need some sunscreen. You're a gingy.
I bring.
Yeah, 100%. You need to make sure you.
They'd probably be providing like SPF 30. I need like a million, especially for Arrakis.
And reapply.
Probably on that planet, I need it like every 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
For those that don't know me. I'm a gingy.
Those poor palm trees.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be on fire like one of them palm trees.
They got blowed up.
Happened in part one. It was exciting. Yeah. The one guy just like feeding them like little ladles of water. Like, they need more water than that. I guess that they're succulents, but... But yeah, that first movie had a lot more action than I remembered, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dune Part 2 it's got a decent amount of action. Yeah. And Stilgar is everything. And Lady Jessica is pretty freaking great.
Pretty cool.
And
freaked me out.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And while Austin Butler isn't in the movie all that much, when he is, he's pretty
good.
He's pretty magnetic. They did.
May your knife chip and shatter.
May your knife chip and shatter. I know that the Harkonnens are a lot worse than what's shown in the movie. So I think David Lynch 100% like didn't like pull punches when he was showing like the awfulness of the Harkonnens.
I'll have to find out.
There's a lot of implied awfulness, like use your imagination awfulness.
Yeah, which is sometimes how it should be.
Yes, indeed. Well, we live in a different era. You know what I mean? You have to find a way to like show that without a
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a way to skillfully and deftly do that sort of thing. Not deftly, like you can't hear, but D-E-F-T, yeah.
There was one Harkonnen that was deaf.
Yeah, sure. Which one?
In the first one.
Oh.
He was in the Ornithopter.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's when...
They stabbed him.
Yeah, yeah. Note to self, don't do sign language when one of the people's deaf. Well, he also was very rapey.
Maybe the Harkonnens aren't very inclusive.
It's very possible. I think inclusion is not one of their keys.
No, sir.
Yes, yes. They have one key, and it's murder.
Hey, Two keys, murder and spice.
Murder and spice. And
doesn't make everything
preferably
nice.
Together. Murder spice. Murder spice, sand walk in, and murder spice. Their favorite Spice Girl is murder spice. The little known Spice Girl. Yeah. Yeah. She didn't last long with the group.
No.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts on Dune, Jack?
Dune-licious.
Dune-licious.
That's a stretch. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I think second one's a little better than the first one, in my opinion, but I think only because of the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely think part two is better than part one.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could watch them separately.
Yeah.
I think there's
it's one story.
A world where it's possible. Oh, but so much story.
Yeah. Someday, once I get some ADHD medication, I would love to read that book.
How big is the book?
Thick.
Thick?
I think.
Thick like a Shia Halud?
See.
I mean, we can look up easy. How
many pages?
Yeah, while you talk, I can look it up.
How many pages are there in Dune? We are going to find out. This is the monologue that I used to fill time.
Only 400 pages.
That's too many pages for me.
Oh, that's like, that's barely, that's not, yeah, it's only 400 pages. That's not a huge book. I mean, you're, fair enough. You're talking to the guy that at like 10 years old was reading like David Eddings, like Belgorod at like over 1,000 pages.
This is me probably oversharing, but I read a lot as a kid. Trying to talk about books that I read then, like I read all the Harry Potter books, and I had a girlfriend as an adult who was really into Harry Potter, and she would mention stuff from the books, and I would go, I don't remember that.
That's fair. Yeah. I also read really, really freaking fast.
Yeah.
So like 400 pages.
I feel like I used to be a really big reader. So I would really, and I do really enjoy reading.
Yeah.
I would love to read Dune someday.
Yeah. I would definitely at your local library.
Yeah.
Like probably like several different editions and copies of it.
It's so, Adderall.
Yeah. You should try where they read it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard without the glossary.
Okay,
Tried it while I was a security guard.
Ah, yeah, and it didn't work out so good, I remember. No.
Maybe if I had the physical book, too.
Oh, that feels like homework. That's a lot of inputs. My ADHD is going a little wild just thinking about it. But, I mean, I think it was a good movie, really enjoyable, and I like the sandworm stuff.
Yeah.
I think, there was, like, the teases of sandworm stuff in the first one, and then, like, payoff.
How do you get off the sandworm? How do you exit the sandworm?
You watch your head and your step, and you use the handrail.
Hmm. Is somebody going to help me by my elbow?
I hope
not
so.
Not anymore.
Not anymore because of COVID. Remember the days when we used to touch them guests?
Space COVID.
I remember when we used to touch them guests.
I wish I didn't.
There was one summer I wrote an entire poem. I don't remember its entirety, but it was called I've Seen Elbows. And it was like skinny elbows. Fat elbows, wet elbows. Is that even an elbow? Elbows. Yeah,
I've touched some elbows, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one moment where I helped somebody out of one of the boats, and I said, "Somebody needs me to bump me out. I need hand sanitizer
so
now."
I had perfected, like, I had that like juggling guest like thing, and I found a way to like grab the second elbow, and if it was gross, as I was getting the next elbow, to wipe the previous elbow onto the next person as I was helping him out, because my hand moves, so it was just like subtle swipe down, like there you go. Oh, like, yeah, it was it was like a sandworm plowing its way through the desert, let me tell you. That was what senior skilled skipping was.
That makes me feel like I just drank the water of life. I'm going to be sick.
You know what I truly miss is that this has nothing to do with Dune, but juggling people down the dock. Did you ever do that where more than one person lined up and the first person would help them out of the boat and pass them to the next person standing on the dock who would grab their elbows and then pass them to the next skipper on the dock? And ideally, you would have 3 to 4 skippers where they were like, what the... And they're just like getting juggled by their elbows like towards the exit.
No.
And you're smiling and you're like, watch your head, watch your step, have a nice day. And like you get...
That needs to be brought back.
No, you have to touch people first.
I don't want to. So, never mind. I recant my statement.
Yeah, I do remember when
a certain skip was helping Dwayne The Rock Johnson out of the boat for the preview. Me. I was like, if you don't step down in that boat and touch his damn gum elbow, I'm never talking to you again. Like, we're not supposed to. We're like, you step in the boat and you touch his elbows. The last human that will ever have his elbows touched will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his beautiful counterpart, Emily Blunt. So, yeah.
He's got the big elbows.
Yeah, yeah. Big elbows, little elbows. Yeah. Last elbows. I've seen elbows.
Cheers to you, Dwayne.
Indeed, indeed. You would have been a great Stilgar. Can you smell what Shai Halud is? Something. What do you think about Muad'Dib? It doesn't matter what you think. Go see Dune Part 2 in theaters. Shout out to my Rockettes. That's what his fans are called, right? Rockettes?
I have no
those
idea.
Are the ladies that wear short shorts and do the can-can in New York City, right?
Yes.
Yes. Fair enough. We've established so many things while ostensibly talking about Dune Part 2.
Yeah. It's part of the Dune lore.
It is.
It's part of the deep lore, the Rockheads.
This is your very last chance to say something productive about the spice flowing, the sand walking, the Shai Halud.
Made me almost like sand. They made it seem not too coarse. They made it seem not too irritating.
I mean, in fairness, if the Tatooine sand also made Anakin high, he might have liked it better. Yeah.
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 Although, gives visions of the future, which, not his favorite.
I mean, I think it, I just, I'm really frustrated by the fault that they're trying to imply that Middle Eastern people just want blue eyes. Yeah. Huh. That's what the story was about, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Blue-eyed devils. Saved by blue-eyed devils. Huh. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. No, that's not what I don't think that's what the story was actually about.
No.
I think it was a nuanced white savior story.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit more accurate than a lot of other white saviors, because he's not really...
Not as accurate as Last of the Mohicans, savior. But... problematics. But I liked it. I thought it was good. I think you should go see it. It's going to be in theaters still for a little bit longer. Sorry, we spoiled it. But if you...
You were warned.
We already watched it.
If you didn't see it and you didn't want to be spoiled, what are you doing here?
If you're already watching it, I just came here for the spoilers, but you guys didn't even talk about the movie. We talked a little bit about it and some other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happens. Me and Jack Talk haven't gotten to joke around for a little bit in person, so fairly warned you be, says I.
Jack Spira.
You put two ADHD people in a room.
Yeah.
We got off topic a little bit.
We did.
Sue us.
But we stayed on it. Well, don't sue us, please. The podcast doesn't make enough money to support that lawsuit.
No. Yeah. Unless you're suing us for a sandwich.
You can have a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about we just give you a Laugh at a Fuzzball t-shirt and call it even? Yeah. You let me know. You let me know. And you can let me know at laughatafuzzballpodcast@gmail.com. Or at Wookie Riot on Twitter, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, and Threads.
Ooh.
We just really like the Book of Faces anyways, right? One of those things might supplant X. But somehow, like... Wish I was a billionaire that could just lose billions of dollars and still be a multi-billionaire.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice to fail that hard and not blink.
I feel like you would put the money to much better use.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably. Although, you know, who knows? Becoming rich and high on sand drugs might just make me an awful person, too. Won't know unless you let me try.
Deep.
Yeah.
Don't go south.
I'll definitely be someone that cares about the environment and doesn't burn a lot of rocket fuel. Yeah, I'll definitely be that person.
No
and
penis planes.
I will not align myself with right-wing nutjob politics. Yeah. And I will not pay for Cara Dune's lawsuit. That's horseshit. Yeah.
Elon Musk did that?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that a whole other time. There's no time for it here on the Dune podcast. I think that's all the things. tpublic.com/user/laugh-it-up-fuzzball if you want to buy a shirt. Blue's working on two shirts. In fact, this is going to drop soon, so the shirts probably won't be out. But, yeah, he sent me messages, so I should have those designed pretty soon and drop them on the foosballs. Doing it well. Oh, I just came up with that right at the tail end. Yeah, pretty good.
You're doing well.
How you been doing, Peanut? I think that's all the things. We thank Spotify for Podcasters for keeping it free. Formerly Anchor. Yeah, but now Spotify for Podcasters. Huh. But I still type in anchor.fm when I'm going to the thing. What plugs you got, Jack Talk?
You can find me on Instagram at Holmes himself and TikTok at the same. Those are my main two platforms.
Yeah. Did you pick up the Jack Talk just to have it?
I should.
Well, Blue was just talking about it. The days of that social media might be ticking and talking.
I would like to hear more about this.
Oh.
Later.
Wow. So much stuff. Listen to level 390 if you want to hear Blue talking about the potential imminent demise of the ticking and talking. Yeah. So, actually, we don't talk all that much about it, but you could look up some articles about it.
Yeah.
A lot of supposed white saviors having too much time.
Oh, talking no, I know you're
talking about. Social media. Yeah. Yeah, the young people are always going to be the demise of your generation, because the fact is the young people become the old people. Yeah.
Nobody told me that.
And the old people die. Yeah.
Well, on that
note. Well, don't you worry. I'm older than you. Don't you worry. All right. Those are all the things. That's us talking. The funny thing is the name of the episode is Jack Talks Sandwalking. We never said that Jack Talks Dune Part 2. We never said that Jack doesn't talk other things. And
Jack has troubles with focus.
Honestly, I think the focus is probably my problem on this this level of the podcast, and that's okay. We hope you enjoyed it. It's a little over an hour. In fact, by the time I edit it, it'll probably be under an hour, and we hope you enjoyed yourself.
Still fun.
So we're going to head off and watch some Bad Batch and hope it doesn't include worms or sand.
That'd be nice.
And we'll catch you on the flip side. Until then, TTFN, Wookiee, Joe the Wookiee, Tribal Chief, and Jack Talk out.
Goodbye, bye.
All right. Is there any great Dune quotes to end with? Podcast must flow! Yes. Tongue Vin's throat singing for the win.
Yeah.